It is 6:30 in beautiful Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. Good evening to you. My name is Oliver Norville, and it is now time for the program Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme, as I say good evening to the stand-in host, Lou the Bajan. Greetings, Lou.
Greetings, Ollie. Good evening, Barbados. How are you doing today? Yes, I am standing in for Sluggy Dan. You know Sluggy is all about the youth. He's actually currently, as we talk, in the airplane to take some of our talented young people off to Canada to perform. So I am going to be your host for this week and next week while Sluggy is out. So hopefully hopefully the show still has the same vibes that Sluggy brings. You know Ollie, you know how he does it. We have some lovely guests in the studio. And they have come to promote something, but you know what? We are first going to let them come show Barbados what they have to offer, because you know it's always about something for the community. So we allow the people to come and show us what they have to offer. Then, as Ollie was discussing, we have a little more of a lighter discussion, more round table, and you know, just have some vibes.
Sounds good, Lou. I'm very confident you're gonna do a fantastic job. So take it away.
Yeah, so firstly I will start with Dr. Yvonne Weeks. You want to introduce yourself?
Hi, Ollie knows me, of course. I've been here before. I think I've been a few times, actually. So I'm Yvonne Weeks. I am one of the directors and members of the Gentle Steps Arts Academy. And we're here to talk about our upcoming show and the fact that we have 10 years since we went from having 5 dancers to 100 and, Kimmel, 10, 12? A lot. 110. Went from 5 dancers to 110 performers. And so we hope we can talk about the role that arts can play, especially in our community with all that's happening in Barbados. So that's me, Yvonne Weeks. You know, I'm a writer, a poet, a playwright, theatre director, actor. But right now, I'm just Auntie Yvonne.
Ollie heard that. She went, it's 10 years from 5 dancers to over 100. That's multiplayers. So actually, you would say we actually have one of those dancers here today?
Yes. Hello, good evening, everyone. My name is Adia Miller. I am one of the, I guess Miss Weeks likes to call it, one of the founding members of Gentle Steps Arts Academy, as I was there from its inception, the very first time when it started as a summer camp, and I've just been there ever since.
So let me ask a quick question. Since you were part of the OG5, y'all got like a name for it. What was the name that y'all just call yourselves? Because they have to have a name if y'all's the OG.
I'm just kidding.
Assemble.
We really didn't have a specific name. We just kind of were Gentle Steps dancers, and it remained that way for 10 years. So, there were points where we would, you know, get different roles, like go into singing more, acting more. There would be times where I would be tasked with helping with choreography, or one year we're doing something and it's like, oh, yeah, you're the dance captain. You da, 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 da. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm doing this now. So it was very adaptable in making us feel comfortable to assimilate into different roles, making us feel comfortable to get on stage and sing, even if we may not have ever sung before in front of a crowd, different things like that. So it's very crucial in terms of my growth in the form of being able to public speak, because being on stage and doing so many different things for so many years definitely helps with that. But yeah, definitely a space where you can grow and be an all-rounder, I would say.
That's lovely to hear. That's lovely. And our third guest, this is Kimmel Marshall.
Yes, please. Hi, my name is Kimmel Marshall. As he said, I am a dancer, theater practitioner, culture practitioner, and was once a dancer at Gentle Steps Arts Academy, but then elevated and evolved into becoming a teacher and choreographer. Gentle Steps is actually one of my birthplaces of dance. I grew up there, started in ballet, and then went to BCC, studied dance, then I came back every now and then to teach modern to the young kids, and now I'm there as a full-time staff member, which provides me with the opportunity to once again teach the kids and to pass on the knowledge of dance to the next generation to ensure that it doesn't die. So it is truly amazing the space that Gentle Steps provides for not only the dancers to grow, but for also for their actors to grow and their young vocalists that expand themselves, and to know that it's okay to be in the arts and there's a future in it. Yeah.
Okay. Now, now that y'all three have introduced yourself, I wanted to ask a question for each of y'all to answer because I just think about things differently. So being in this Gentle Steps Dance Academy, there are many things you have to do. As you explained, you have played many roles on the ship. Like, it's a big ship with hundreds of tasks. You have done about 90% of them. Like, there are many things that you do. So I want to ask this question, even if it's not your favorite thing to do, what one thing that you would say is the closest to your heart when it comes to being in this world of dance arts? And what is just one thing you can... Yeah, I can let you, I leave it open-ended so that you can answer it in your way without me filtering for something.
You want me to answer?
Anyone can go first.
For me personally, I think that dance is my main source of being able to express myself emotionally. It has been one of my main source of expression creatively for a majority of my life. I would say that I'm a creative person all around, so I'm into drawing, painting, anything artistic, but definitely dancing has been one of the main roles that is like, if I'm having a bad day or if I'm sad or frustrated about anything, I know that I can get into the space, get into the studio, and I can just get into the zone and just dance, get free. On stage, get into the zone and just dance. So it's very freeing in that regard. Sometimes, if we say, for instance, with acting or with singing, there's a lot of different kind of things that you kind of have to think about a bit more. For me personally, with dance, it kind of feels like it comes a bit naturally, especially with dance styles that are a bit more free, like your afro, your
contemporary, more flow, like when you're just in a more constant rhythmic music. Sorry, apologies.
You're good.
Yeah, it just is. It's all about energy and something about, for me, before I give my thoughts, I ask a question and let y'all answer. So, Kimal or Yvonne?
No problem. For me, like in the initial moments of when I got into the arts, performing was my main thing. I always enjoyed performing, but as I got older, I realized I enjoy creating a lot more. I enjoy directing and developing new movement styles and taking stories that exist out in the world and using dance to explore these stories, because the body can do many things. A lot of people don't think it can, but the body can do many things, and it can say so much things with just simple movements or complicated movements. So when I'm given the opportunity to create something, I like to just go as far as I can and whoever I want, you know?
Okay. Dr. Yvonne?
I think for me, because I'm obviously much older, I mean, the important roles for me is mentorship. So, for example, when Tanisha started, Tanisha Gibbons, who started the company 10 years ago, she started with a dream. She had this dream of owning her own dance company. She just graduated from the Barbados Community College. And at that time, Kimal, I don't know if you would know this, but the program was a 3-year program. So they had 2 years of doing dance and dance choreography and history, etc. But they had a year of dance education.
Dance pedagogy.
So she had a dream. And we used to meet at a primary school, George Lanning Primary School. And ever so often she would get kicked out because, you know, things would happen, you know, prize giving, independence, and so on. And I said to her one day, but I have all this land in the back of our house. Why don't we just build our own studio? So that was the first part of the dream. The studio is not, it's not the ideal size. It could be about 12, you said 12 inches more would have been ideal. Even 18.
I don't know, girl.
The point is that she owns her own studio, and it took, because she's even when she was developing her name, so she's like, you know, she's my daughter-in-law, so she's like, Yvonne, you know, Mom, so what am I gonna call it? And I said, well, you're such a gentle human being, so we're gonna call it Gentle Steps Dance Academy. But then she wanted to add drama because obviously I'm a theater-trained person, so we added the drama, and then we added the vocal as well, and we are blessed to have Lisa Griffith as a vocal coach, actually. So the drama and vocal are developing, So for me, my role is mentoring. So I mentor the young drama teachers in particular. So Renee Clark, who teaches the younger kids, and Asha Elcock, both very talented, both qualified. But you know, I use 40 plus years of experience. So I don't teach the class. Sometimes I would go in and teach, but I basically mentor. And the other thing that I do, because I love, is writing. So you will see that the drama pieces on our show on the 21st of July are pieces that I've written for the kids. And it's called Resilience. So it's also about, you know, I talk to the children about what does resilience mean. The youngest child is five in our drama class, and that drama class has five to I think 10, and then the other class is 12 to like 17, and I've written something about our history, because you know, as a Caribbean woman, I want the children not just to learn the craft, you know, which Kimal and Tanisha and Tuesday and the others will do, but to have some sense of who they are. So my pieces, the drama pieces, are very much rooted in Barbadian history. I'm very interested in the research about Barbadian culture. I want the children to leave understanding words better and stuff like that. So I would see myself more as a supportive role, you know, calling up Sluggy Dan and telling him, hey, can my group come and talk? So that's my role, mentorship, helping with the production elements, and just being a support to the teachers and to the organization, and making sure that that sense of who we are as Caribbean people is, especially in the drama, is taught and nurtured.
I love that. I love that. Ollie, you heard her. She talk about mentorship, and I feel like I just was mentored listening to her, all of this stuff. It's like, it's so amazing about, I asked that question to see, all of them are in the same program, but all for different loves, but it all come together because ultimately everybody has a role to play. Your role as a mentor isn't a role as a dear, as just a person to dance, and she could even be a role model in the sense that you get to see as an example of what to go. And then also, Kimal, you like to take things from an idea and put it onto stage, and that allows other people to express themselves that may want to be able to do the movements but don't know how to choreograph the movements, and it just all comes together beautifully, and it's, I love to see it. But you did mention something on the 21st, so I will let you also tell Barbados what it is that you're here promoting. You have,
if you want, can I do the poster for you?
Oh, sure.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
So it goes, Gentle Steps Arts Academies 10th anniversary celebration presents Resilient on the 21st of July at 7 p.m. at the Frank Collamer Hall. It's a red carpet event. Tickets are $60 for adults, $40 for children 12 years and under. And the box offices are the Gentle Steps Arts Academy, Diana Dash's Toy Shop, Sky Mall, Harmony Sheraton Mall, and these mega styles in Tudor Street, Bridgetown. You can also get Gentle Steps Arts Academy at 235-5018, and they're on Instagram. 21st of July, 7 o'clock. That's next week, Sunday, at the Frank Collamer Hall. It's a red carpet event. Adults $60, children 12 years and under $40. The Gentle Steps Arts Academy 10th anniversary celebration presents Resilient. Over to you.
Period.
So it is a really huge celebration for Tanisha and for all of the teachers and all of the choreographers and all of the dancers. We still have four of the original out of the five children who
started. The OG five.
The OG five. We have to call them that now. So Adia,
y'all can have that one for free.
Yeah. What does OG mean to
original?
People who may not know,
it's
original.
Original. They are the original.
So the original out of the five, we still have the original four who are part of the senior company: Adia Miller,
Kristen Fit.
Kristen
was one of
the
original.
Kristen.
Yeah,
Diara.
Diara.
Summer.
Rakela, was that one?
No.
That was the four.
That was the four.
Me, Kristen, Diara, and Summer.
Pardon me. I completely forgot.
So the reason is 4 out of 5.
Out of 5, because Tunisia was the other one.
Yeah,
but now her daughter is in it. So, yes, so that's the thing about
Let me explain to Barbados what happened just now. This is their 10-year anniversary. So they were trying to remember who was the original 5, but you got to understand they have over 100 dancers under. So you got to understand that they were just doing a lot of mental math to try to figure out stuff. So I just wanted to explain for anyone that was a bit confused. So but you can continue now.
But that's crazy because like usually in a class, like right now I have a class of at least 16 students. And up to today, I was calling them by the wrong name. And they're like, sir, you can't call me that name. And I'm just like, well, you know who I mean.
But I think what is really useful for the public to know is that Tanisha also does personal development workshops with her students. Because obviously our concern, our gentle step, and we're really a family. Everybody calls Nathan Uncle Nathan and Auntie Yvonne. And I don't know why Kimal still calls me Auntie Yvonne. He doesn't
all
need to know
all
that.
Depends on where we are.
It depends on where we are.
Where we are.
But basically, it is a family. It's a safe space. And that's one of the things that Diarra mentioned in her IG interview. It's a safe space. She feels that if she's stressed at school, she can come, she can lie down, she can do her homework. You know, we have a nice office space where parents can just sit and wait for their children if they want to. We have a bathroom where children can just come. They don't have to come into our personal space. They can go into the bathroom and change. It's just a really nice, comfortable space. And we've really, Nathan and Tanisha and I have really worked hard to make sure that it is a comfortable space and it's a fenced space. So you're not coming and having people peeping at you during this classes, which can also happen, you know, in certain spaces.
But where are you located again, ma'am?
We're located in the Bell, and it's called Academia Estates, where it's the Barbados Union of Teachers has a development, so the studio is located in that development. But I think the beauty of it is that not only does Tanisha do this personal development courses every so often, they're really free of charge. There's no charge. She doesn't charge for
them. Oh, wow.
She doesn't charge for them. The other thing is that we've done, I think this is our second year of doing it, is that we invite children from the Barbados Childcare Board. So those children come free of cost. We offer refreshments to them. We are very blessed that we have people who believe in our vision for how we should take care of young people in our community. And we have someone who actually pays for those tickets and says, look, don't give the tickets away. I will actually pay for them. This is the second year in which we've invited the childcare board to bring their children. I'm not sure how many children are coming. It might be 10 or 12 children. And we're quite happy to do that. The other thing that Tanisha does is that she offers free scholarships, whether for dance or drama or vocal music, because it's not just about we want our company to be successful, but what are we giving back to the community? So for example, if I teach for a semester, right, it's free. It's no cost, because I believe you have to give back, and Barbados has been very good to us. All of the founders are non-Barbadian. The children are Barbadian, though. But Tanisha and Nathan and myself, we're not Barbadian by birth, but we feel we are Barbadian citizens.
You are honorary Bajan. Like, you're Bajan.
Me not even honorary. Me's a Bajan.
You's a Bajan. At first, he was honorary, but after a while, the honorary got dropped off. You're just a Bajan.
Yeah, we've been here 28 years.
Wow.
And in those 10 years, we you know, and even some of our biggest awards, not so Kimal, have been about special awards for our contribution to history.
Yes.
So even the awards that we've gotten at NIFCA, about the landship. Hold on. Yes. I'll let Adia talk about the landship.
I can't even remember what year it was. I just remember I was very young and excited to dance with the older girls, because that was one of the few pieces where it was a mixed age range piece. Usually it would be like a piece for the younger girls, a piece for the older girls, and it would be separate. But she brought on some of the younger girls who she felt could handle, you know, dancing with the older girls, and not kind of took my own horn or anything. but it was exciting for me, because that was my first time performing dance at NIFCA. I think that was my first time at NIFCA in general. And it was a landship piece, and it was really fun. And we made it all the way to the gala that year. And I think that was our first time entering NIFGA. And we went straight to the gala with the Landship piece and we got the cultural award. Because it wasn't your usual Landship piece, because the choreographers that we have that work with us as well are very innovative choreographers. So you would not see a dance from a person choreographing with us and say, oh, well, I've seen something like that before. So if we are gonna do a Landship piece, it's not gonna be your run-of-the-mill Landship piece. There's gonna be, she's gonna add something contemporary, a little bit Afro, a little bit, you know, she's gonna add a little je ne sais quoi, you know.
She likes to make experiment and innovate. Yeah,
so the choreographer for that was Megan Michael. And she has been a dancer for many, many years as well. I think since she was 7 years old or four, very young too. She's still with us to this day. She is one of the choreographers for the upcoming show.
Yeah,
and
because she's presenting another NIFGA award.
Yeah, a repertoire piece that we did.
That we did in 2016. Mm-hmm. That's my first NIFGA piece I did with Gentle Steps. Yeah.
Nice.
So in 2016, we did Migrants, which told the story about the Panama Canal, how Barbadians left Barbados, obviously, and went to Panama to work hard to provide for their families. So that piece got a silver award and most promising choreography for the year.
Or best depiction of Barbadian history or something.
Something like that. And then in 2018, we came back again with the Kamal tribute. And then in 2018, we then did Higher Power, which is then being presented again in the Resilience show on July 21st. Which also got silver. That one was choreographed by Tanisha. And
we also did a piece last year.
I wasn't in that, so I don't remember.
Well, I was in the piece that we did last year. And that is called Who Do You Judge? And it's basically about, you know, handling the judgment that you walk through in society and how you handle that and how you move through that. And that piece was choreographed by Tuesday. What's Tuesday's last name?
Tuesday Pounder.
Very talented Tuesday
Very
Pounder.
Very talented.
And we also received a silver on that award. And that is one piece that is coming back.
It's true. A lot of award-winning pieces are coming back in the show.
Yeah,
the
show
will be
show.
A very, very star-spangled
I'm also performing
show.
My silver award-winning piece from last year.
You hear that, Barbados? It is a decorated show. What's this again? July 24th.
July 21st, 2024 at the Frank Coloma Hall.
7 p.m. And how much is the cost to get in again?
60 for adults and 40 for children, 12 years and under.
Yes, as you heard, they were just talking and remembering, oh, this piece that I do got an award. This other piece is a decorated show. You got to understand the quality that you're going to get is going to be immense. The show name is Resilient. And it's proof from the fact that this is their 10-year anniversary, not just as a business, because I sit down here listening to everything say Gentle Steps Academy isn't simply a business, it's a community. And I can see it by how passionate that y'all talk about it and all the stuff, and clearly by all the awards that y'all forgot that y'all had on these pieces, something about it just hits home. And sitting down listening to y'all talk, I realized that it's not just simply dance, but it's more expression of who we are at our core, because you're telling our stories. Like, I'm 23 years old. Most of the stories that shows I ever grew up watching or anything, so any kind of media was stories about elsewhere. And it's like, you just hear all the stories, but when you hear a story about home, when you hear something about 200 years ago about a place where I live here, this is something that happened 200 years ago, it's like something about the fact that the story is connected to the ground that we walk upon. It just hits different, and it's just, with the community aspect, you give an outlet to so many people over the years. I know y'all got over 100 dances right now, but I know y'all haven't only dealt with 100 dances over the last 10 years. So it's like, I know that I can see here that y'all have touched a lot of people by opening this space, this safe space, so people can come and express itself. And honestly, this actually starts ties in really well, because as you said, you started the show, we wanted to give y'all a chance to highlight and show what you're bringing to Barbados, but now we wanted to go in more a little casual discussion. And the topic that we were looking to talk about today was youth, culture, and community. And I feel it's like almost perfect, because I hear listening, sit down, and realize that they touch all three points already. So it's just a continuation. So it's like, So I want to start this.
If you don't mind, I would like to start. Mm-hmm. But we were discussing this earlier.
Oh, you want me to give?
So what we can do is, if you can read what you we were talking and you brought this up to me, you educated me on this. Mm-hmm. If you can give Barbados this and give them an opportunity to come back and call us, and maybe they can tell us who. You take it away, Lou.
Yes. So what we can do? What's the number?
4341790.
Yes. Okay. So let me set the scene, Barbados. There's a lot of talk about the youth and stuff like that. You know, there's always like crying on the youth. So we have a quote here. I'm not going to tell you when this quote is from. I'm going to read the quote, listen, and if anyone wants to call in and take a guess, we will probably, if not, we have our three panelists here that we can see to so give a guess. Then after, I can tell y'all when this quote is from. So
before we did it with Andy Thornhill.
Yes.
Andy Thornhill said he thinks it's from the 80s.
You think Andy Thornhill, a very respected man, thinks that this quote is from the 80s. But so again, let's give the number one more time in case anybody wants to call Ollie.
4341790.
All right. The quote reads like this. The children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and terrorize their teachers. So, I can give the chance, give the number again, if anybody wants to call.
4341790. Yeah.
So before we start, I'm going to give our panelists here an opportunity to guess what time period do you think this quote is from? Andy Thornhill thinks it's from the
80s. I think it's current, maybe. It sounds very, like, current.
It's current.
It sounds like something that somebody would say.
No, it is.
About the youth of today.
So, like, 2024?
What we could like 2024, this,
like between the 2020s.
So, let's put 2022 as a good baseline. 2022? Or earlier. You want a little earlier?
Anything past 2000.
Okay.
May I ask your ages before we...
I'm 25.
25, and you are?
21. Yes. Okay. Dr. Yvonne Weeks, what do you think?
I think it's from the 60s.
From the 60s.
Because of the kind of vocabulary. It's not very contemporary language.
No callers as yet. We're going to give Barbados a chance. especially because this is a station with a mature audience.
Yes.
So I'm very, very interested, especially in terms of what's going on today in Barbados. Yeah.
You know, I can reread the quote one more time.
Yes. Go ahead, Lou.
I can reread the quote one more time. So Barbados, if you heard this quote, if anyone wants, we have what? Andy Thornhill thinks it's from the 80s. Dr. Yvonne Weeks thinks it's from the 60s. We have our young people think it's from 2000s, anything so. So the number one more time, and I can read the quote. If no one calls, we will give you it. But if anyone wants to get that chance to get that opportunity to be on the radio, here's your chance. What's the number?
4341790. All right. We do have a caller, but go ahead with the
call. Okay, good. I can do it one more time, and then we get to bring in the caller. So the children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority. They show disrespect for elders and love chatter in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and terrorize their teachers. So we have a caller?
We do have a caller. Lou, I just want to say the reason how all this came about, right, is because we were talking. I told you what happened to me this week. Yeah. I ended up on a block this week. It wasn't on purpose. I didn't purposely go on a block, which I'm actually now thinking I should have, right? Remember what I'm telling you.
I believe
now that I should go on blocks. Mm-hmm. I ended up on a block this week speaking to four young people between the ages of 21 and 29. A lady was included. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's going on in Barbados came up, and it blew my mind as to how they came back to me. And this is exactly what happened with you today when we were discussing it. And you came to me with this piece of knowledge. Let's go to the phones. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, caller. Say your name if you would like to, and then you can give your guess. Hello?
If you don't want to say my name.
No problem. Go ahead. If you don't want to say your name, that's okay.
I'm an elderly person. I think that quote is from the 18th century.
The 18th century?
Yes.
So you mean like 1800?
Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. So caller, I'm going to allow you to a chance to get, since you're here, I'm going to give the answer. This quote is from Socrates. And what year was that again, Ollie?
I think you said 470 B.C.
Socrates, 470 B.C. So, Madam Caller, now that you have heard when this quote is from, what is your thoughts? Are you still there? Or are we lost him, Ollie?
Hello, ma'am. Good evening. You still there? Okay.
Okay. She's gone. Oh, we lost him. Okay, so we have our panels. Any thoughts, Dr. Yvonne Weeks?
I actually think that every generation think that young people are terrible. And let me just say this. I have taught for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had, in the 45 years, I might have had a moment here or a term here where I thought, I hate this class. But my personal view is that young people are amazing. That's what I truly believe. I'm not saying that because I'm sitting next to young people.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught Kemal, so I can say that he worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
He worked hard to get his degree. He earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody handed it to him. And I can basically say that our opinion of young people needs to be refashioned. And that's not to say that I've not met young people who have had challenges and who have been difficult. But when I used to teach in a secondary school, which is many, many, many years ago, I've been taught in secondary school for many years, the worst behaved students were my favorite students. They were the ones that would come to my desk. They were the ones that would, me and them would have basa-basa to begin with. And then eventually, they were the ones who would come and say, Miss Sweets, can you help me do this? Miss Sweets, can you do this? And they ended up being my favorite students. When I go to London or Montserrat and I see them now, they're like, yeah, and I'm like, you're my favorite teacher, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But me and them used to like, butt heads. Right?
Yeah, I find it really interesting because, you know, I went somewhere and as I said, I ended up on a block talking to these young people.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said just now, I really should have gone on purpose because for me, I know the youth have their own minds, their own consciousness, etc. But I think a lot has to do with the influences. I was talking to an older person earlier today and they were telling me it starts at the home with the parent, which I agree with. But then it goes from the parent to outside of the home to the adults that are around at that point in time. And while I was sitting down there talking to these young people, cars were passing, etc. And I asked myself, how many times have I been on the road or past the block and seen a mature person sitting down having a conversation with the young people? Mm. It doesn't happen that often, you know. Mm. This week I've been listening in the news, listening to the call-in programs and listening to various mature people. And I've heard a lot of different opinions and I've heard not one person say, let's talk to the youth and let's find out from their perspective what's going on and why things are going on. I can tell you from me sitting on there for those 2 hours, talking to those young people, I learned so much. The first thing the youngster told me was, so tell me something, when you were growing up, you didn't have fights? And I said, yeah. You didn't have violence? And I said, yeah. And he said, so you guys use cutlasses? And I said, well, if it got extreme, people had cutlasses and swords and stuff. If it got extreme, when I was growing up, right, in the 90s and the 80s, he said, well, nowadays people got a gun and everybody has a gun. And he told me, but guess what? Us young people didn't bring in those guns.
Mm.
They're available to us now. Right. We use what's there.
But they're speaking. But they're speaking the obvious.
We didn't bring in.
They,
right.
They don't. They don't have any power, any economic power or social power. They don't have access to the port or the airport. They don't have the money to pay for anything.
So in other words, when somebody gets in something in my day, when you went to somebody, if you go in something and you went to somebody and they pull a cutlass, you go run. Now these guys ain't pulling cutlasses.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as he said, nearly everybody has a gun. But as he said, we did not, these guns, we didn't go to the trees and pick these trees that were, these guns that were growing on trees and say, let's use them. They're available to them. I'll tell you something. It really opened up my mind, and I, as I said, it makes me wonder how comes we don't talk to the youth
at all. But Ollie, every young person does not have a gun. Yeah. And that's,
of course, I think he's generalizing, okay. Of course. So the, you know,
so I mean, would, I would want us not to. Yeah, he's saying that, but I would want us not to.
Yeah,
okay. So narrative. Let me clarify to make sure that we don't have no confusion. So what happened is Oliver was, for some reason, he found himself in a position where he had to spend some time, and he spent the 2 hours on the block talking to some young people. Right. And within the conversation, it came to the point about fights, because it was a question that the young person asked him. And they would say fights back in the day and cutlass, and then when he said talking about guns. So understand when Ollie say, he said everybody got a gun, he doesn't mean literally everybody got a gun, but you got to understand from the young person perspective that lived that life. The general population of people who would have a gun are the people that they will be interacting, being in that environment. Right. So from being, and the mind is a wonderful, complex thing, and it's very adaptive. So it's all about, we as humans, we are very threat adaptive. So like if you live in an environment, there's some kind of threat towards you, you pay more attention to it. We are very negative prone. For say example, you go on the stove and you burn your hand on the stove, you're less likely to burn your hand on the stove again because you have learned. So like when you are a young person, because a lot, as we said, this is a many complex issue that comes, so many different factors. But in today's day, especially as you talk about the economic franchisement, there are a lot of young people, because they did not, while they was going to school, show the traditional academic success. So the path laid out for them wasn't like the other ones. So if you go into school these days and you're good, you see, you got scholarships, so you don't even got to think about what to do. Everything is planned out for you. But for a lot of these other young people, that like, it got a man, he can, may not be able to write an essay, but if your car breaks down, he could tell you exactly what go down, pick it down, whatever. So there's many different talents within our society, but we in a society where we only look for one thing, it leads, that's just one issue. But again, a bit off topic, so going back.
Lee, if I may, I would agree with you, it was generalizing.
I didn't think you were. We do generalize a lot.
This week I heard somebody on the radio saying that all of the children around the world are in this phase of rebellion, and that's not true. That's mm-hmm. definitely not true. Listen, we live in Barbados, and we see things from a very kind of like a small perspective and a narrow mm-hmm. perspective. Mm-hmm. There's a country called Bhutan. Bhutan is in the Himalayas.
Yes.
There are no murders, and there's no crime. Bhutan is the only country to have officially adopted its gross national product mm-hmm. as happiness.
Yes.
Happiness as the main indicator of their development. Happiness is their number one goal. Mm-hmm. If you look at Norway and a lot of Scandinavian countries, mm-hmm. crime is not on the rapid increase in there with the youth at all. So I find, yep, it was a generalization. And I think, honestly, that's part of the problem too.
Yes.
Too much generalizing going on.
Yes, yes.
Because people expect me as a teacher to say, oh, yeah, young people are this and yeah, they're bad and they're out of control, and I cannot say that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I am pretty certain I've taught thousands of students in the 45 years,
mm-hmm.
right? I cannot say that. I will not say that, because it's mm-hmm. just not my experience. And whenever I have had, as I said, in secondary, because university is slightly different and community college is slightly different as well, whenever I've had an incident with a student, there's always been some very complex factors,
mm-hmm.
you know, father not present, or even mother not present, poverty, low self-esteem, low expectations. I have high expectations of my students. I used to have students where I'd give everybody an A. I was famous for that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got an A, and these are the things you had to do
to keep the A,
mm-hmm. or to lose it, right? And hardly anybody lost them. If they didn't hand in the work on time, then there was a mark off. If they came to rehearsal late, there was some, you know, and it was a contractual arrangement.
I want to break that down, because you did something there that's actually so beautiful and it's so telling of the kind of person that you are. In your class, your default method is that this student is here. It's like that. It's like you don't got to do nothing mm-hmm. to get the A. But if you don't do the sub things, you will lose it. So it's like you already have it. And I think that's a beautiful mentality that she knows. And it just catch it all. It, mm-hmm. She was talking with like, wait. So it's like, let me put this in more layman terms for.
I'm still a very hard person. Hello.
Yes.
She don't play.
I don't play.
Yeah.
Because I have high expectations.
Yes.
I mean, I would go into a class and say, nobody fails my class.
Mm.
No, I've been a student where a teacher has said, nobody gets an A.
Yeah.
Mm. I'll be like, shh.
Excuse me?
I get my A. If I'm the only person getting the A, I'm getting it. Mm. So I wouldn't go into a class and say, oh, nobody ever passes my class. And I've had that experience even at our esteemed university where they just tell you, you're not going to get an A. And I'm like, hell no. But when I have a class, I say, nobody fails my class.
And then we take that approach. I believe that young people have the opportunity to see themselves rising and saying, you know what, if I have this A, what can I do to keep it? What can I do to maintain this good standing, not only with my teacher, but also with myself? And that's the important thing. So when Ollie was speaking, I was here telling myself, I appreciate the fact that he asks the young people questions and talks to young people, because oftentimes the older generation does not take a chance to ask us questions, to find out what is going on with us, to just assume. It's always, I observe, oh, all young people disgusting. All young people this. And it's like, how about you come and ask me why I am the way I am?
I love that, because that touches on an even deeper topic, Ollie, because we all in Barbados and we've been following the news. At the end of the day, right now, there has been an upsurge in violence, whether it's by guns or like knives and stuff like that. And everybody is shouting off about how can we fix this. But I think that we need to understand that when it comes to problems in society, you can't look to solve the problem simply after the effect. Because everything that happens in society, it's a reason that happens. Something further up the line, some decision somewhere along the line has caused ripple effects to get to that point. And I think we need to look at it more on a holistic level. And I think the number one step is talking with the young people.
Definitely.
I am not here to say that I have the answer, Barbies. I am just a 23-year-old that found a relationship with Sluggy as a mentor, and he has allowed me this opportunity to come and speak in radio. I am no expert in any kind of field, but in terms of my understanding as a young person here that has been gifted this platform by Sluggy, I'm saying I believe that the very first step to fixing the issues in our country is the very first thing is to have a conversation with the young people. I don't know what is all the rest of the steps to get the problem fixed, but number one, you need to understand the situation you're dealing with. You need to understand the people in the situation before you can even come with some kind of solution to fix it.
Or even an opinion.
Yeah, so it's like, you say you got a leak in your house. For some reason, water is slipping out and you don't know. So what you are going to come and do, you know what? Let me bulldoze the house so it can fix the leak and put new pipes. No, sometimes you need to take a step back and look and try to understand the situation.
How old are you, Lou?
23, turning 24. In exactly a month. Today is July 13th. My birthday is August 13th. I'm turning 24.
Yeah. It's very interesting because, you know, I just turned 50 years old, so I would have come up in the 80s and the 90s,
yeah.
And a lot of stuff that I would have done. I remember piercing my ear at 16 years old in 1990, and my mom sent me down at the dinner table, talking to me for 3 hours about me piercing my ear. I remember growing locks, and my mom coming to cut my hair on mornings when I was sleeping, right? And those things are normal now, you know? Yeah. Those things are very, very normal. But I think there seems to be, the same way that there was the generational gap and the lack of communication in my time, is the same thing that's going on now. But for me, it's even bigger. I think that most adults, and I just shouldn't generalize. Don't let me say that. I think that many people are out of touch with reality and out of touch with what's really going on the grounds of Barbados. And I think we need to come together and to talk to them. Lou, I come and I talk to you today, and the first response you come to me with was knowledge. And that's what the youth are into these days. You can't, like when I was growing up, as I said before on the radio, mm-hmm. it was people said, do as I say and not as I do. You cannot do that with this mm-hmm. generation. Mm-hmm. They're going to call you out immediately and say, no, you're a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. I didn't say that to my parents and the older people in my days. Mm-hmm. But right now, children are seeing right through that illusion and telling you, hold on, you're telling me to mm-hmm. do as you say, but not as you do. I hear watching you doing this and doing that, mm-hmm. but yet you're telling me just to do as you say. Yes, that don't make sense. And I'm not going to do as you say. I'm going to do as you do. Mm-hmm. So very interesting. Go ahead, Lou.
Well, I think Yvonne has something to say.
Right. I was gonna say, my son would be upset when he pierced his ears. I pretended I didn't see. he came to the table and I just ignored him. I was like, I'm not having this conversation. I found that I had a lot of freedom as a young woman, but then I grew up in the UK, so it's a little bit different. But I also went to a school where there was not much expectation of us as black girls. Mm. Went to a girls' school. But all of us were determined not to fulfill their low expectations of us. Mm. We were not going to do that. And we've all done like super exceedingly well, you know. So sometimes the peer pressure that we say is so negative, in my case, was a positive. It was like a group of black girls who were like, we studying, we getting out of here, we going to university, we're going to get our first degree, we're going to do this, we're going to change the world. We were very, very determined. And I see that a lot. I see that definitely at Gentle Steps. I see the children inspiring one another. They form friendships, they form relationships.
There's two things about what you're saying I want to touch on. One is that you were able to go out. I went, started partying in nightclubs at 16.
Oh, I did
16
as well.
Years old, I went in the warehouse.
I was just telling my parents, I'm gone.
I was partying in the warehouse at 16.
Let's not behave as if young people just did this for the first time.
No, but the thing about it is that for us growing up, we had a lot more outlets. We had a lot more places to go.
Right.
Young
it's
people
true.
Don't really have a lot of places.
Yeah. Yes.
When you were growing up, and when I was growing up, the music was different. The music was more conscious.
Reggae music.
I started working at Starcom in 2008 on a station called 104.1 Love FM.
Oh, I remember that.
We had a station
so
dedicated to only love music. We don't really hear that as much. When I was growing up, when you're walking past girls in the classroom and you're looking at their exercise book, it's full of poems and full of lyrics to love songs. No, when you walk past and you look in the books, it's Nicki Minaj and Savage this and Stripping this. And it's a whole other... So I think the influence is a lot different.
I think the American culture has done nothing except damage us.
It's done a lot of things for sure. But we definitely... When I came here in 84, it was Little England. And I could, you know, I could tell you as a witness and as an observer, I saw Barbados go... And many countries going to the Americas and, you know, getting caught up with America. And then I saw, interestingly enough, in the last 10, 15 years, America becoming more Caribbean, more into the Caribbean, you know? So interesting how that comes up. But what I would like to do, though, is to ask these two young people, what are your thoughts on what's going on in the country these days?
You mean in terms of the influence on music?
Everything. What's your thoughts on what's happening? Every day you're seeing things in the newspaper, on social media about violence, crime, and the youth, etc. What's your feelings on it?
I just think people are angry. Like, this is a very increasingly angry time for a lot of people, and there are a lot of factors that are acting upon us as a society, not even just young people, which are just making us, I'm talking in generalizations, but very, very frustrated with the state of the world, the fact that you don't have much means to do much about what is happening, the way that there's so many people in power that we can all look around and agree that they're terrible people and they still call the shots or have access to be able to speak to somebody who calls the shots. And it's like, young people have so many brilliant ideas and so many innovative ways of thinking and pushing society forward. And I feel like when Barbados gets to a point where the older generation and the younger generation stop butting heads so much and start being a bit open-minded to one another and open-minded to change and open-minded to hear each other out, then I feel as though Barbados will begin to propel forward a lot quicker than it is. We've been seeing certain changes in terms of mainly, in my opinion, mainly infrastructural things. So like, you know, refurbishing historical buildings like Pelican, we were talking about that earlier, and like different spaces like that. You can tell that in terms of infrastructure, there's a lot being done to kind of market Barbados to the outside world, to the international world, but there's not much being done to kind of make Barbados less frustrating to be a local for, you know. So it's like, we will market to the tourists. We want to market to everyone. Come to Barbados.
I like how you put that.
Like it's so easy to be like, come to paradise. You're gonna love it here. But then it's like, what do the locals get in return? What do the locals get in return? We have to, I guess,
play along with it.
Because
we're basically
and then the main thing is that a lot of people, when they come and visit, they say the main thing that they love about Barbados is the people. And then it's like, the people are struggling. The people are struggling, but that's the thing about Bajans. Bajans will struggle and still find a way to have a smile on the face, but
they're resilient.
That was a nice callback. That was good. Very resilient people, but also very prideful. And Barbadians, I think, tend to not be too serious all the time. Bajans like to have a good time, even if they know they're not having the best time. So if you could have the worst day, somebody asks you, "Are you like, man? They just here, man. You know what I mean?" We don't really tend to want to put our burdens onto one another, but still are very aware that burdens are there, and it kind of comes out and manifests in different ways. So like crime, and you know,
exactly, because depending on what you were saying, because I was there thinking, with the frustration, all that stuff, because of how frustrated we are, then young people are then resulting into crime and doing all the things, because that's the only way they know how to express themselves, how to try to figure out how to move through the life that they have been given, sadly. So again, that's what Ollie was saying. We gotta talk to young people, listen to them, because on Sesame Street, what they've taught us, asking questions is a good way to find things out.
And it's like having conversations, not just to hear, but
to listen, to
not just speak, to respond, but to speak and be heard and understood, and to be able to compromise and
work together,
and
not against one another, because as Ms. always say, young people are the future of tomorrow.
Yeah,
we are the future of tomorrow, because when the older generation disappear and go along, we then gotta then pick up all the pieces and try to rebuild from it.
Here, I just want to, I agree with you, but I want not fully, because you say when the old people are gone, we then gotta pick up. It's like, you got to understand, we can't just wait till the people that are in charge leave for us to find. You need to open doors so that...
And even if they're not opening doors, we got to find a way to shut
Exactly. So we got to start now, so that when that time comes, we are ready, not just to know start there.
The older generation got to give us the opportunity to do that.
Yes.
But sometimes it's not that possible.
And Kimal is right. So this is why, for me, like for example, people will call me and say, "Yvonne, I want a job XYZ," and I'm like, let me see who I have in my little black book. And it would be, I call a Michelle, or I tell Janisha, can Kimal do this? I am not doing it anymore, but I am going to help. I'm going to pass on. I mean, this is the thing, is I feel like some of us in my age group don't want to let go. I'm into letting go. But I'm into letting go and imparting and sharing. So when I left UWE, I told my MA students, "I got thousands of books. Come along. What books do you need for your next program? What books do you need for your next course?" I called a graduate recently. "I got all these leadership books. You say you want to do leadership? Come along and get the books. I'm not selling them. Just come and take them." I believe that you have to pass on. So you're both correct. What Kimal is saying is we have to pick up. But people like me have to ensure that there is something for them to pick up. by not hiding, what am I going to do with all this knowledge I have? I'm going to just dead with it, no? No, it has to be passed on. It has to be shared. It has to be given. It has to be spread. And so that's my philosophy. So even with Tanisha's drama class that I did begin, I was like, Tanisha, I'm doing this for one term, and somebody's going to watch me. Because I'm not teaching it forever, coming to all.
And then the same thing also with Tanisha, because she used to teach all the classes.
She used to teach all the classes.
Used to teach me, and now boom, I'm a teacher as well.
And now she's like saying, no, Tanisha's like, you know, I have three kids now, I'm married, I have my family. No, you need to take over some classes. Mm-hmm. So that is how we're supposed to do it. But I do see evidence that some of us, and I'm talking about certain plus age group people, don't want to give up. And I am all for... Like when my son did, we did win an award for a bullying piece, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes. We did, and we won, is it called the Supreme Counseling Something. For Anti-Bullying? Something. I wrote the piece, because Tanisha said, can you write a piece? I said, okay, I'll write a piece. And then Nathan was like, are you going to direct it? Hell no. So he directed it. You've been sitting in the back of my class since you were 4 years of age watching me teach drama. You didn't pick up anything? And he was very blessed because he had the late Sonia Williams, who was his mentor, who came in and guided him. Rest in eternal peace, Sonia. But I was like, Nathan, I'll write the piece, but I am not directing. I don't have the time. You have to pick up those skills. And eventually we brought in Asher to take over. And I would teach some, I would sit in, I'd observe, I'd give her notes, we'd have meetings about how she can develop. And I would show her blocking, and then I'd say, next 2 weeks, you're doing it on your own. And by the third week, I'm coming to watch you. So that's what I do. And more of us
need to do it.
Need to do that.
You came here in 96 then?
Yeah. 1 year after the volcano erupted.
So, because from what I'm saying, only in terms of not letting go, I'm also finding, for me and my observations, the private sector, a lot of private businesses were more involved in sponsoring of a lot of things across Barbados. I find there's not as much sponsorship, unless it's a party, you know, or some kind of sporting thing. Mm-hmm. I don't find the sponsorship is there from the private entities. And I also find that there seems to be a lot of I can't step out, I can't let my level of comfortness drop. So people seem to be in a situation where they're not going to let their level of comfort drop in any way at all. And because of that, certain things have to be done, certain prices have to be set, etc. Because if somebody joking up my eye, I got to joke out somebody's too. I basically see it. And as I said this the other day on the radio, right? The golden rule. You can find the golden rule, do unto others, in every single religion and in every single sacred book of each religion as a main fundamental teaching. Mm-hmm. It's there across the world in all the teachings, right? It's accepted across the world as a yes, this is it, but it's also violated worldwide. I find we don't live as do unto others. We live more as an eye for an eye. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's what it seems to me, just on plain observing, looking around. We don't seem to help each other as much as we can. And we seem to live in bubbles of comfortness. And unless my bubble is being affected and it's landing on my doorstep, I cool though.
That is powerful.
It's that mentality of, if it's not too close to home, then it doesn't have anything to do with me.
What you guys consider a bad mentality to have, or
It depends on the circumstances, because if it's a situation where it's like the literal world around you is crumbling and you don't care to speak on it, or you don't care to care about it, then I think that could be a little counterproductive. I think that with certain things that happen around the world, like, for example, let me take it back to 2020 and all the BLM movement and all this was happening. It was a very hard time to be on social media and to stay educated and to make
Even
sure you're
was a hard
up
time to be on
the,
social media.
Everything, Israel. Everything, and it's always something else. And it is difficult to absorb that, especially as a young person, mm-hmm. because we are kind of the most immersed into that social media.
That touches on something that's very particular, because one thing that the older generation needs to understand when it comes to young people of today, we have cell phones which have social media. And social media causes you to be able to take in information from all over the world at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, all the information you was getting was coming from the media headline. If it wasn't on radio, TV, or our newspaper, it did not exist. We are here in 2024 where people can sit down and get daily reports of what's happening in Palestine. You can understand the military plans that Russia has used against Ukraine, and the people that have yeah, so it's like there is a flood of information at our fingertips, and because of that, many times we don't know what to latch on to, because it's community. Something about community is all about examples. Fundamentally, as humans, we are learning. We see things and we repeat. That's how babies learn. We just see. That's where you can see, like, a parent. You will see some parents that are children that got the exact same mannerisms, because you know what? That child has been watching that parent entire life, and without even knowing, just copy it, because that's who we are as humans. So when you have so many different stimuli from all different places coming in, a lot of people I would say a lot of the young people just don't, it's not that they don't know what to do. There are so many options, they can't choose. They know what to do. They know what they may want to do, but there are so many options that they choose. And sometimes with the social media, they choose their own options, because how many young people, and not even young people, older folks, anybody that uses social media knows that you open social media to chat something for 5 minutes, you blink and an hour gone. That, like, the design of these apps takes away your choice, because you just say, I am only going to do this for 5 minutes. But how they do it, like, they pay. I want you to understand, social media companies paid some of the best psychologists millions of dollars over the years.
But apart from that, Lou, you can, okay, so for instance, I was talking to the people on the guys on the block, right?
Yeah.
And the guy said, okay, when you were growing up and you wanted to learn about something, you had to ask or go to the library or something.
Yes.
As he said to me, I can pick up my phone and I can learn about another culture. I can hear them speaking. I can then press translate, have that language translated, and I can then learn about that whole culture and everything. And then I can then go and learn their language. So apart from the distraction of social media and the internet, et cetera, there's a lot of good that comes in. I heard somebody mention on the news this week about reading and encouraging more reading. We have audiobooks. You even have adults right now that don't read, that just listen to novels, listen to books on
I'm an audiobook person.
On the internet. So even learning is different from how it was when we were coming up. When I was coming up, you had the radio stations, you had TV, one TV station, and that's it. So the impact of what was going on, as you said, worldwide, did not directly hit me as much as it's hitting the youth today.
Yes.
So that's a very good point,
Bill. Yeah, and thanks, Wally, because I felt like it was going on too much. The point that I was looking to make when I start saying that is that when it comes to understanding what the young people do, what the young people don't do or may want to do, it's all about having examples. So if you want the young people in this country to be on a brighter path, you as a person, find that young person in your area, find that young person in your family and become a mentor to them. You never know, you may got a friend that you went to school with that lived down the gap from you that got a little child. So you say, you know what, let me spend the days and tell her something, because say that you made dresses or something, so you could just bring them over and just see them stuff like that. You never know, you might spark something in their eyes, because you gotta understand, we live in Barbados. If you are a Bajan, every Bajan has some role to play in this island of making it a society, a community. It's not only the police job, it's not only the preach job, it's not only the prime minister and the minister job, it is everybody's job. It is all about the small steps and that you take the little things. So, like, find a young person and try to be a mentor. But I'm told that we have a caller.
We do. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, great evening. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Go straight into it, Carl. We're running out of time, my brother.
Yes.
Okay, no problem at all. Yes, thank you very much. Okay. In the evening when I go to sleep, I dream of Bajan rhythm and rhyme and it's sweet. This time, Lou is hosting strong, not weak. Thank you, Lou. Let me tell you and you to tune in next week. Now, as Sluggy would say, I love this show today. We got Gentle Steps Academy doing their thing. On the 21st, 7 p.m., Resilience is the Swing. The best of celebration 10 years in the expressing. The youth were taught to love luxury and fatten their thoughts in being obese. I think positive freedom with lots of jazz love is what they need. Sitting on a can and canning it is pure greed. Give the young people a solution. Let them say, I am positive, I will achieve. That is their creed. Fine, this is the last two. It is Christmas in July. Come to the dance and experience of a lifetime. The choreography is on another level. Be a part of the body with every member, balanced like a spirit level. I went to a supermarket to market adolescents, but they did not market on the shelf. I saw a vitamin C which promoted convalescence, and then I saw vitamin S, which is vitamin self. The seashore next to the supermarket had seashells galore. And this is the final sentence. God looked down on me and gave me a smile because the shell that I picked up was made of gold, sparking my hope. That is to the youth. I hope that the youth can hear that and gain something from it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your contribution. All the best, my brother.
Yes, so we have exactly 10 minutes, so I wanted to more final thoughts, and then after final thoughts, we will just go over again the show. So who wants to go first with final thoughts on the conversation?
I think that it's a good conversation to have. Mm-hmm. It's a good conversation to kind of maintain and kind of keep it fresh in everyone's mind so that it doesn't, you know, just go through life and then forget about the fact that these things are real and you know, like, struggle is real. Like, it's not just something that you hear about in the news and it's so far removed. It's happening to your neighbor, it's happening to your friends, it's happening to you. You may not even realize it. But talk to people, communicate, and understand that you need to give yourself and the people around you some grace, you know, so that we could live a little more peacefully and more happy.
To join in on a day on the topic about this generation and probably next generation after us, I recognize that we are, let me not say that we are, but this generation is emotionally intelligent and very empathetic. So it's not that we just see things and just let it slide. It's that sometimes we also don't know how to process it. It's just like so much. And as an artist, for me, I consider myself blessed and fortunate to have my artistry to explore these feelings.
See a space.
And to use it to inspire and to educate and to showcase what is going on in the world and how possibly we could fix it. So as a young person, I really appreciate being a part of this conversation. And as an artist, I even more appreciate it. I also wanted to say thank you to Dr. Weeks, because when she was talking about she loved to be the one to give back, we appreciate people like her who are providing opportunities for the next generation, because we need people that would help us get to where we need to be. Trying to do it on our own.
I think she's a perfect example.
We can do it on our own, but sometimes we need a little help. We need a helping hand.
Sometimes we need someone to help us with our first gentle steps.
Amen. I like this guy.
Yes.
Gently step into greatness.
I love it. Dr. Yvonne Weeks, your thoughts.
You know, the truth is that we all make mistakes. Adults make mistakes. Young people make mistakes. But I think the word that Adia used, which I really love, is that of grace. And that we have to do grace. It's so easy to get frustrated. It's even as an adult, it's so easy to get impatient. It's so easy to feel hurt. It's so easy to all of those things, you know. I mean, like Adia, I have my writing as my release, you know. I'm just finished another book. And I have to tell you that Tanisha is so talented. I mean, she designed the last two book covers for me. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know that the third book cover, she needs to get her act together after the show. After the 21st of July, I'm going to be coming to buy She Hard Hard for the new book cover.
I can just see her.
But what I'm saying, what I'm actually saying, though, is that I'm very proud of this kind of show. Mm-hmm. This is not my first time coming on the show and the conversations. And I hope that even if it's one person who just reflects and says, you know, something that Adia said resonates with me. Something that Kimal said resonates with me. Something that Yvonne said resonates with me. I need to, you know, and we do need mentorship programs. And they don't need to be formalized by any government. We just need to say, right, I take in Summer under my wing. I take in Diara under my wing. These are our OG five. You know, I'm taking her under my wing. I'm going to take, you know, and that's all we need to do. You know, and also, I think in humility to seek advice. I seek a lot of advice from my son. Because I think he's in an age group where his information is different to mine. His circle is different to mine. His experience is different to mine. So there may be things that I'm going through, even at my stage of life, I say, Bernays, what do you think I should do? Tanisha, what do you think I should do? And I think that's what is lacking. This just not taking the time to give grace, as Adia say, to share, as Kimal says, and to just seek advice. So I just sought advice on my new manuscript, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take that advice straight away. The minute I did, I could see the poems reshape and everything, you know? And that's the same thing. That's what makes us resilient. I mean, the thing about Resilient, the show, it's like in four sections. Our first section is Thanksgiving. Our second section is hardship, because it's a hard road to get from zero, from five students to 100 students. It's not an easy process. The next one is identity. I think you have something in identity, Kimal.
Yes.
And then the last one is empowerment, right? Our youngest child is three.
Whoa.
Kimal, I'm wrong?
That's
our youngest child is three.
You're possibly right, because the baby steppers are roughly that age range.
Our youngest child is three. And they're called baby steppers, by the way.
I love that.
And you could, I mean, if you have any little ones, when they come, it's a safe space. No one's staring in at them. No cars are blowing and crossing over no road. They come in the gate. They close the gate. We protect those children.
That's true. And the teachers also, including
go
myself,
ahead, Kimal,
the
go
teachers
ahead.
Are also willing to provide these students with, again, the safe space so that they know that this is a space where you can come and express yourself, be as loud as you want to be, as long as it does not bother Dr. Reith. Be as expressive as you need to be. Do anything that you want to do once you listen to your teacher. And have fun. It's all about having fun while teaching them dance and acting and vocal.
For the younger girls, I had a very brief stint of teaching the toddlers too. Very, very brief.
Baby steppers.
The baby steppers, exactly. And one thing I realized is that we kind of have an environment where they feel safe enough to cry and not, like, there's no fear in, like, not knowing what you're going to do because you feel like you're going to be chastised or like, there's no fear of, oh my God, you know, I'm scared and nervous. There will be nerves because they're young and this is dance and performing is something that is new to them. But something that I find can become a norm in spaces that involve young children is very harsh discipline. And that is something that is not present at Gentle Steps. The name rings true. It's very gentle.
I love it.
The very gentle, you know,
a very relationship gentle approach with the, to with instilling the young, these necessary tools.
So we make sure that the communication is very clear. If it needs to be firm, it is firm, but not to the point where it will make anyone uncomfortable.
So here listening, I'm here thinking about any person Beijing that has some child or nephew or something. So here listening to the program,
nephew, definitely, for sure. I love that you said that. Nephew for sure.
Yes, boys, girls. It's not just for girls.
More boys in the arts.
It's like, if someone is listening to this and would like to involve their child, what is the process? How do they get okay. to become a baby stepper or a gentle stepper. I don't know what the age is.
It's a very simple process. Enrollment starts in September. You can go to the Gentle Steps website if we still do have one. I hope you do.
Yeah, go to the Instagram.
Gentle Steps Arts Academy. That's GENTLE Arts Academy.
I just wanted to be, because we're going to wrap up soon.
No, no
right?
problem. Gentle Steps.
Because you said Gentle Steps Academy, but then Arts you said G-E-N-T-L-E-R. So I just want to make sure we got you right one for everybody.
Yes, G-E-N-T-L-E Arts Academy.
Gentle Steps.
There's no steps in there?
Gentle Steps. So sorry. Gentle Steps Arts Academy.
Arts Academy.
Wow. Hopefully I don't get fired.
You'll definitely find us on Instagram, and the link to the website is in the bio.
Okay, great. Great. And just
for those of us who may not be that tech savvy, is there a number that people can call to get in contact with you for their children or grandchildren?
So the number is 235-5018. That's 235-5018.
Yes. And then you have this show, Resilient, that is going to be at the Frank Collamer Hall on July 21st, 7 p.m. It is $60 for adults, $40 for children. It's a decorated show. They have so much awards, they forgot that the pieces had even have awards. So trust me, that is a level of quality that is going to be there. So yes, Barbie, it's 7:45. Have to wrap up. I want to thank our guest, which is Dr. Yvonne Weeks. We have Kamal Miller. Kamal Marshall and Adia Miller. Okay, my apologies, but yes, so.
And next week you'll be rocking.
Yes, and our producer, Oliver Narville, tonight, and I'm Lou the Bajan, sitting in for Sluggy. As he said, Sluggy is all about the young people. As we speak, Sluggy is in the air right now, go off to Canada, taking some of our talented young people to go and showcase them in the Canadian soul. So shout out to Sluggy. God, thank him for giving me this opportunity. Ollie, this has been a great night. Thank our guests, and you on Barbados, you have a great night.
Yeah, and before you go, Lou, just want to say job well done on your first show hosting.
Yes.
And to our guests, thank you so much for telling us about Resilient. And listen, it's been such a pleasure meeting the two younger people. Mm-hmm. Mom, it's been an honor seeing you once again and talking with you. And I think we've left Barbados with one or two things to think about. So thank you so much for your frank and open conversation. Have a beautiful evening.